and seated you in the front, that was a dirty trick. Next year, we're going to have to remind our folks a couple weeks before Easter, don't bring first-time guests down to the front, because if you weren't planning on getting baptized, you probably will before the service is over. You will get sprayed on. I will do my best to get you out of here on time and to keep my slobber in my mouth, but there are no promises when it comes to those two things. Today, I'm going to share with you a message that I've called After the Resurrection. There's so much that has happened because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today, and a lot of times we focus on the cross. We focus on what took place because Jesus went to the cross. We focus on what took place because he was buried. But today, I thought that it would be of value to focus on what is now part of our life because of the resurrection. Let's go ahead and get started. Luke chapter 24, I'm going to be reading to you from Luke's account, the resurrection story. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. That's what we just sang about. But when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. Did you hear that? They went to the tomb because they were prepared to do what people do when somebody they love dies. They were going to go pay homage and go pay respect to him. That's the right thing to do. When somebody dies, you go to their funeral. When somebody dies, you go pay respect to them. How many of you know that has been lost in today's culture, but it's what we should do. And they went there, and when they got there, they were expecting this stone to be in front of the cave's entrance, and they were somewhat puzzled when they got there and the stone was gone. They was even more puzzled when they walked into the tomb and there was no body there. But when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. Now, let me just go ahead and make things clear. The reason that the body was not there has nothing to do with people coming and stealing the body. There was no invasion of the body snatcher. The body was not there because he was not dead. Can somebody say amen? But let me tell you, the body had been there. The body did lay on that slab of stone. The body did remain in that tomb for 3 days. But after 3 days, God gave the command and he told hell, let my son go. And hell had to let Jesus go. And of course, happy birthday, Woodstock, by the way. It's Woodstock's 44th birthday. Let's tell Woodstock happy birthday. What a great day to have a birthday on Easter. Praise the Lord. And the grave had to release Jesus. And when the grave released Jesus' spirit, his body was resurrected from the dead. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, listen to this, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why are you here? Looking in a place that dead people reside for somebody that's not dead. I'm going to say that again. Why are you looking for a living person? Why are you looking for a breathing person in a place that dead people are put? You know, in all of our lives, there are so many times when we look for things in the wrong places. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You look for things in the wrong places, and we know what it is to go to certain things. Could you adjust that a little bit, turn that down? We know what it is to go to certain places and to look for certain things in certain stuff that can never give us what we're looking for. I know what it was because I've been there. I used to be addicted to drugs. I know many of you know my testimony. Some of you don't. I was looking for things in the wrong places. I was searching for something in places that could never give it to me. But then, like these people, I heard a word from the Lord, and God shared with me that there is a way, but it's not the way that I'd been going. And I had to make a decision to go another way. Can somebody say amen this morning? The angel said, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. Glory to God. There's nothing worse than the stench of a dead God. I cannot believe somebody didn't get excited about that. I thought for sure I was going to have one of them catchphrases that everybody puts on Facebook after the end. You know, there's nothing worse than the stench of a dead God. Hashtag Pastor Richard. You know, I thought that would be it. Let's try it again. There's nothing worse than the stench of a dead God. Somebody that lived and made promises to people only to fail them, only to disappoint them. But let me tell you something about our God. He's not a dead God. Can somebody say amen? He was not in the tomb. Did you know that it's recorded in other world religions? Somebody said, Pastor Richard, how do you know that he wasn't in the tomb? Well, did you know that Islam testifies that Jesus rose from the dead? Other world religions testify to Jesus Christ as a great miracle worker, as a man who was killed, and as a man who rose from the dead. I'm telling you right now, Jesus was not in the tomb when they went there. And I'll tell you why he wasn't in the tomb. Because he resurrected. He rose from the dead. And you know, we don't serve a dead God. There's people all around the world that are just as devoted to their religion as we are to ours. But let me tell you, their God stinks because he's dead. He is rotted away. And the only thing that's left of their God is a pile of bones. And if you were to go and dig them up, you would find them in the tomb. But if you went to dig up Jesus, you wouldn't find Jesus. You wouldn't be able to discover his bones or his remains. Do you know why? Because they're not there. He is seated at the right hand of majesty on high. He's preparing a place for you and me. He's making a home for us. And it's not going to be that much longer. Glory to God. And all you older saints get excited when the preacher preaches like this. It's not going to be that long before Jesus comes, glory to God, and everybody will see, and everybody will know, and all the naysayers will wonder, what in the world just happened? But we'll know, won't we? He's not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, that he would be crucified, and on the third day he would be raised again. And then the women began to remember his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 disciples and to all the others that were present. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But listen to this. They did not believe the women. The apostles, the followers of Jesus, did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense to them. Did you catch that? What report they brought back, it seemed too good to be true. It was a report that when they heard it, they doubted it because it did not seem possible. It is not possible for somebody who's been dead for 3 days to leave a tomb. It is not possible for somebody that you have watched with your own eyes be beaten and have spears thrust through their sides to live again. It is impossible for that to happen, except God said that it would. And when God said that it would, that made it possible. And so these people, they were considering the facts. Everybody say the facts. They were considering the facts. And based on the facts, they said, this is impossible. This is nonsense. You know, there's a lot of people who think the gospel is nonsense. There's a lot of people who look at the promises of God and discard them. They look at the gospel, they look at the full gospel, the message of the gospel, and they discard certain parts of the gospel because it seems to be nonsense. We're going to talk about that here in a little while. Peter, however, got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying there by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Would you join me as we pray? Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, God, that you have written your word. We thank you that you inspired men of old to write these things down so that we would know, that we would understand, that we would be able to believe. Let faith arise in all of our ears and all of our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, it's very easy for us. Hindsight is truly 20/20. It's very easy for us where we're sitting. It's very easy for us to look at the disciples and to say things, you know, like, oh man, I can't believe they didn't believe Jesus. They walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. He told them on regular occasion that he was going to die, that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to be buried, and that he would be raised from the dead 3 days later. How come they didn't believe him? How could they have missed it? Man, if I was there, I would have believed him. How many of you have ever felt like this before? I mean, you ever felt like, man, I'm a better Christian than them? Them old Peter, the unbeliever, old doubting Thomas needed to see the holes, and all these men told these women they were nuts, and the women themselves didn't really know what to think when they had left the tomb. But the reality is, it's easy for us to judge them and to mock their unbelief or to correct them for their wrong thinking. It's very easy for us to notice their issues and their failings and to judge them. But let me just stop for a moment and challenge you. Because we probably would have made the exact same mistake. See, we seem to forget everything that happened in their lives that led up to the resurrection. Stop and consider what they saw. Stop and consider everything that they saw with their natural eyes. They were with Jesus when he prayed the night away in the garden. They were there as he sweat drops of blood. They were there as he told them that I'm exceedingly sorrowful, even to the point of death. Stay and pray with me that we will not be led into temptation. And they fell asleep, and Jesus came back, and he was somewhat encouraged. But they were there when he was seeking God, and they were there when he was betrayed in the garden, when Judas brought the soldiers to Jesus and betrayed him with the kiss on the cheek, and the soldiers came and they arrested him. Remember, they were there when they tried to defend Jesus, and Peter drew his sword out and he attacked the soldiers as they were trying to arrest Jesus. How many of you know the story? Peter drew his sword and he went up to the soldiers and he said, "You're not going to take him." And he struck one of them and cut off his ear. His ear fell to the ground. The man's name was Malchus. His ear fell to the ground, and Jesus picked it up, and he placed it right back on the man's head, and it was instantaneously healed. They were there when Jesus said, "Don't interfere. Don't interfere with what's happening. This is the Father's will." They were there when Jesus was put on trial. For that time that Jesus was going before Pilate, they were there and they were wondering, is he going to get out of it this time? It wasn't the first time Jesus had been in trouble. Remember other times he had been in trouble with the Sanhedrin. He had been in trouble with the Pharisees. And when they came to confront him, he would get away. He would just kind of somehow, some way, almost supernaturally, he would escape. It's like they would surround Jesus. But all of a sudden, he would like disappear. And he would just leave them. They were there to harm him, there to find fault in him, but he would escape them. He would exit their presence. And the disciples were wondering, is it going to happen like this time? But it didn't happen. They were there when he carried his cross to the hill called Golgotha. They were there when they whipped him at the whipping post and they scourged him. They watched him bleed. They saw the 39 lashes put across his back. They saw the scourging. They saw the mocking and the spitting on of Jesus by people. They saw the soldiers lay the cross down and lay his beaten body. Beaten so bad that the scripture says it was beyond recognition. How many of you have ever seen the Passion of the Christ? They watched this happen. They watched him be laid on the cross. They watched the soldiers take spikes and drive them through his hands. They watched the soldiers drive spikes through his feet. They watched the crown of thorns placed upon his head. They watched the cross raised up. They watched Jesus hang there, thinking to themselves, surely he's going to get down. Surely he's going to escape this, because he's told us. He's told us that he's the Christ. He's told us that he's the Messiah. He's told us that he's the one. But he didn't get down. In fact, he began to fade away. He began to get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. They watched his head fall. They watched life begin to slip out of Jesus. And they watched him breathe his last breath as the Father turned away. And the sin of all mankind was placed upon Jesus Christ. The curse of sin was set upon him, because the scripture declares, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. It was just like in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, under the Mosaic law, that the people would bring a lamb, a sacrificial lamb, to the priest. And the priest would take that lamb and he would lay his hands upon that lamb. And there would be a transfer. The sins of the individual would be transferred upon the Lamb. It was a scapegoat. The sins would be transferred. They'd be taken off the individual and put upon the Lamb. And that's what happened at the cross. And these people are watching it. They're watching the sun stop. Darkness. Remember what the scripture says? That all darkness began. And there was a great trembling. They watched him yell out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They heard him yell out in his final breath, it is finished. They sat there wondering, is it possible that maybe now he's gonna do it? And then the soldier come and right up to the cross because they wanted to speed up his death and they pierced his side. They saw that blood flow. This is what they saw. It's what they witnessed. And we want to question why they didn't believe. Let me just simply say something to you today. They were blinded by their circumstances. They were blinded by the circumstances that they had seen. They were blinded by what was in front of them. They were blinded by what they had witnessed. They were blinded by their reasoning and by their logic. They were blinded. Everybody say they were blinded. And it made total sense to them. And let me just say, as it would to anybody in this room, it made sense to them that they would go to the tomb and that they would find a body. It made sense to them to feel hopeless and to feel sorrowful. How many of you know if somebody dies, that's what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to feel sadness. You're supposed to feel sorrow. But the scripture says concerning the body of Christ that we don't mourn like the rest of men who have no hope because we have hope, glory to God. But it's natural to mourn. It's natural to feel sorrow. That's what they should have felt. They were supposed to find the stone there. That's where it was supposed to be. And of course, Jesus was supposed to be in the tomb. But they found something quite different, didn't they? I said they found something a whole lot different than what they were supposed to find. It was supposed to be a dead man. It was supposed to be tears. It was supposed to be lamenting. It was supposed to be weeping. It was supposed to be a sad story. But it's good news, not bad news. It's gospel, not a bad report. And they got there, and what they found was totally different than what they expected. They expected it to be the way that it always was. They expected it to come together the way that it had always come together every other time that they had gone to pay respect to somebody. But this time was different. They found the stone rolled away. And when they entered, the body of Jesus was not there. And as I said, it made no sense to them. As they came to the tomb, how many of you would say, if you came to somebody's funeral, and when you came up to the coffin, their body was gone. You know, Teresa died. Danny says, oh, gospel, Pastor, gospel. No, Danny loves his wife. I've been praying for you. After we spent 10 days with her in El Salvador, I've been praying a lot more for you. That's all I can say. If Teresa was laying in her coffin, and if we all came down to pay our last respects to Teresa, and if when we got there, Teresa was not there, did they cremate her? Are they holding her somewhere else? How many of you would understand the confusion? How many of you would understand the reasoning, the barrier here? So it went against all natural reason. What they found and what they discovered, it defied the rules. It defied the rules. They get to a tomb and there's supposed to be a dead body, but there's no dead body. It violated natural law. Dead people cannot live. How many of you know when you're dead, you're dead? That's natural law. It seemed to be a huge mistake, and they were perplexed about it all, and there had to be an explanation. There had to be some kind of explaining to what was going on here. And then they started to wonder. They started to try to reason within themselves, and that's when the angels declared to them what they needed to hear, and it was a reminder of what God had already said. Sometimes we need to be reminded of what God has already spoken. Because we know what it is to be blinded by our circumstances. How many of you have ever been blinded by your circumstances? How many of you would say, I have great faith in God and love God and trust God, but there are times in my life where I too become blinded by my circumstances? Maybe there's pain that just will not go away, or hurts that just keep coming up. Maybe there has been major setbacks in your life because of failings and mistakes that you've made, or maybe day in and day out you see somebody that you love, and somebody, you know, I think of a parent, you know, how parents raise their children to live life a certain way and to follow Jesus, but sometimes kids choose to take a little detour, don't they? Sometimes kids choose to go it their own way and do it their own way. And when you're in the midst of that as a mom or a dad or a grandma or a loved one, and you've been praying and believing for somebody, but no matter how hard you pray, they just keep going in the other direction. And as they're going in the other direction, it hurts. It frustrates. It can disappoint. It can weigh us down. And we can get overwhelmed. And we become blinded, don't we? We can get blinded by our circumstances, and we can forget all the promises that God has made. I can't even begin to mention how blinded husbands and wives become when their marriage is struggling. Wives that are believing for God to break through in their marriage. Husbands believing for God to break through in their marriage. But for some reason, the fighting doesn't go away. The arguing doesn't go away. The resentment keeps coming up. The bitterness is getting stronger, not fading away. And we can get blinded by that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And then there's financial things that can blind. There's shame from past mistakes. So we too know what it is to be blinded by circumstances. And we too know what it is to be called people of faith, but to truly be doubters. And can I tell you today, it's time for the doubters to become shouters. Can somebody say amen? It's time for those people who have been doubting in God's ability, who has been doubting in God's willingness, who has been doubting in God's favor, to start shouting about God's goodness, to start shouting about God's favor, to start shouting, good night, I am preaching real good, and y'all just sitting there today. It's time to start shouting about the wonders of God and shouting about the favor of God. Stop pouting and start shouting. Do you like that one? Yeah, that's worth it. That's worth coming for right there, brother. Okay. Come back next week. There'll be more. So we know what this is, guys. We know what it is. Suddenly, two men, they came and they began to speak to them. They began to remind them of something. And this is what they said. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. See, God did not want his people to get lost in natural reasoning. He didn't want it. He didn't want them to only see things from a human perspective. He didn't want them to only hear the bad report of their current circumstances. See, we are so aware of what's going on in our lives, aren't we? Raise your hand if you're very aware of your struggle. Raise your hand if you're very aware of the challenges that you have right now. Keep your hand raised if you say, Pastor, I know all too well about my weaknesses. I know all too well about the pain. I know all too well about the injustices. In fact, some of you, that's all you talk about. Man, you so depressing. Prozac can't help people like that. There's no medication that can... I mean, there's no antidepressant good enough to help somebody like that. You need an attitude adjustment. You need a Holy Ghost encounter. You need to come into the presence of the living God, because in his presence is fullness of joy. There's only one thing that will remedy that. It's not another pill. It's not a counseling session. Well, it is a counseling session, but with Dr. Jesus, the great physician. It's about coming and hearing what he has to say. Amen. Can you say amen? He didn't want them to be convinced, by what they saw. So what did he do? He sent them a messenger. He sent them somebody to tell them something else. And I got news for you today. And God has sent me here today to tell you some things. Number one, everything is going to be all right. No matter what's going on, listen. No matter what, you can rejoice, but give me a moment here. No matter what's going on in your life right now, You know, you may have a problem that's not been mentioned yet in the sermon. You may have details in your life that are totally different than anything that we've been talking about. But the solution is the same for everybody. Can somebody say amen? And here is what the messenger has to say to you today. Everything is going to be all right. Why do I know? Well, Pastor Richard, how can you say that? How can you be so confident in that? Because of what God already said. God said in Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Glory to God. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to do to destroy your family. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to do to take your life. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to do to take your money and to take your joy. No weapon formed against you will prosper. That's what God has said. And stop letting what you're going through and your circumstances and your situation change your mind. Amen. Glory to God, you got to be committed. God has sent me to tell you that this sickness is not going to end in death. Amen. Well, Pastor Richard, that's not what the doctor told me. Well, stop listening to him then. Dear God, if he ain't got something better to tell you than you're going to die in 90 days, find somebody else to talk to, for crying out loud. If all he's got to do is tell you, I can't heal you, there's nothing more I can do for you, let me tell you, I know somebody that would never say that to you. I know somebody that no matter what you're going through, no matter what disease has attached itself to you, this would be his word to you. I bore your sickness. I carried your disease. I overcame it at the cross, and you can be healed by my stripes, glory to God. There's a better report. And somebody say amen. Amen. Number three, you're not going to be destroyed by the battle that you're going through. And I know there's people here today going through very, very real battles. I know there's people here today going through things and trying to find their way through things that others have never even had to experience. But let me tell you about somebody who has experienced. Jesus, the Bible says that he was tempted in every such way as we are, but yet did not sin. And he has made a promise to you that no matter what you're going through, no matter what's fighting against you, no matter what's trying to harm you, you're not going to be destroyed. Because 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he. Here it comes. Do you see it flying? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the one that lives in you is greater than the one that lives without you. The power inside of you is stronger than the forces working against you. And you won't be destroyed. Oh, you're going to have to walk through it. It's not just going to go away. But let me tell you something. The Bible declares that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And if God is with me, I'm going to get through the valley. I'm not going to be destroyed in the valley. I'm not going to be killed in the valley. I'm going to get through the valley. Can somebody say amen? And if you're going through a valley in your life, just know this, you're not alone. Well, Pastor, I don't have nobody to talk to. Well, Pastor, I don't have nobody to help me. My God, do you hear what you're saying? Do you believe that God is with you, or do you not believe that God is with you? Do you believe that he'll never forsake you, or do you not believe that he'll never forsake you? And if you believe that God is with you, and if you believe the book of Romans, it says, if God be for me, who dare be against me? Who can separate me from his almighty hand and his great power? And his, boy, I feel the presence of God in this place today. Who can separate me from God when God is on my side? And the truth is, God is on your side. Number four, there's a new day coming for you. I said, there's a new day coming for you. No, some of you still ain't got the memo yet. I said, there's a new day. Maybe the last few days have been discouraging days. Maybe the last few weeks have been depressing weeks. But hear what the messenger has to say. There is a new day coming. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5 says, though sorrow may last for the night, joy will come, glory to God. And your heartache may be real. Your sorrow may be real because you've experienced real loss. You've gone through real heartache. But the gospel truth is this. There's a new day coming. Just hold on. Just keep your trust in Jesus. Just keep your faith in him. Just keep looking to the cross. Just keep turning your eyes away from everything that's there to tell you that it's not going to change, that the pain is not going to get lighter, that the frustration is not going to go away, that the memory of it is not going to leave you. Stop listening and start turning to the cross and start remembering the resurrection. Start focusing on the empty tomb. Start focusing on what he's already said, glory to God, because he's said some things to you. He has said some things to you through his word, and what God has said to you is far more important than what's happening to you. Oh my, I said what God has said to you is far more important than what's happening to you. God has sent me to tell you that you're going to overcome this obstacle. I said you're going to overcome this obstacle. It doesn't matter what it is. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. No, you don't know who lives in you. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things, Lord. I bet you didn't get preaching like this in Texas. I'm sure glad you're back, okay? That's all I can say. I didn't hardly recognize you. You came in 20 pounds lighter with a mustache. I almost had to ask you about your name. I knew Pat. That pretty face never changes, but yours, brother, we need to pray for you, okay? I'm glad you're back, man. I know my dad will be glad to see you too, so see him before you go. Listen, we think that we're not going to overcome these things, but God has said something very different, hasn't he? Said, hasn't he? Yes. Said, I can do all things through Christ. I said, you can do all things through Christ. Somebody shout out loud, I can do all things through Christ. Glory to God, you can. You can. But they did not believe. They did not believe the women, because their words seemed to be nonsense. German, would you come? They didn't believe the women because the report that the women brought back, it was nonsense. What does nonsense mean? It didn't make logical sense. It made no logical sense when the women came back and said, he's not there. His body's not there. We had two angels visit us, and they told us that he is risen. He's not. We believe he's alive. And what did they say? These women are batty. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? There's many here today. There's many here today that right now you're at a crossroads in your life. God has brought you here for a very, very intentional purpose, and that's to get the gospel into you. You think you came here because somebody invited you to church today? You think you came here because it's the right thing to do is to go to church on Easter Sunday? Oh, you are so wrong. The Spirit of God has been pulling at the cords of your heart. God's Spirit has been bringing you to a place where he would get you into his presence. He would get you under good preaching. He would get you into a place where you would hear the truth. And even though your human nature is saying what this preacher is saying today is nonsense, the doctor said this, and how could he even tell me to believe anything else? I'm not the one telling you. The creator of the universe is the one telling you. It seemed like nonsense to the followers of Jesus when the women came back and said, he's alive. He's risen indeed. He's alive. They said, man, sit down and be quiet. But can I tell you, it was all true. Yeah, it seemed too good to be true. It seemed impossible. It went against their senses. It violated nature. And it was dramatically different than any experience they have ever had before. But it was all true. People of God, what I've preached to you today, it may seem too good to be true. It may seem to be impossible. It may violate the laws of nature. It may very well go against your natural senses. It may be dramatically different than anything you've ever experienced before. But hear the word of the Lord. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. It may seem too good to be true that his blood removes your sin. His blood doesn't forgive your sin. His blood takes it away, glory to God. It may seem too good to be true that his death gives you life. It may seem too good to be true that his righteousness is now yours. It may seem too good to be true that he was punished so you wouldn't have to be, that he was whipped so that you could be healed, that he loves you in spite of your past mistakes and your failures and your performance. It may seem too good to be true that Jesus is away making a place for you and that he's going to come again real soon. But hear the word of the Lord. It's all true. It's all true. And just as the angel of the Lord declared to the women that day, don't you remember what he said when he was still with you? With every person's head bowed, with every person's eyes closed in this place today, if you're here and if you would say, Pastor Richard, I love God, but I must admit I'm discouraged. I'm truly discouraged. I've had things happen in my life that, listen to me, it was unfair. I get that. I get that. Never should have happened to you. And let me say to you, there's nothing I can say that can change that. But the love of God can. And let me tell you what's more unfair. You're right, it wasn't fair what happened to you. It wasn't fair what your family went through. I get that. But do you know what's more unfair? You keeping them there. You keeping in that place of sorrow. You staying in that place of heartache. That's more unfair. And God wants to bring you out. And he can, friend. I hope you're listening today. It's true. I've not gone through what you've gone through. I get that. But there's many things in my life that you didn't go through like I did. And he's brought me out. If you're here today and if you'd say, Pastor Richard, I love God, but I must admit I am discouraged. In just a moment, I want you to lift up your hand because I want to pray for you. If you're here today and if you would say, Pastor Richard, there's some things going on in my life and I'm overwhelmed by them. I'm overwhelmed by my health challenges. I'm overwhelmed by this single mom thing. Trying to raise these kids without a man in the house. Trying to raise these kids without a woman in the house. It's overwhelming me, the challenges of it. And I get so overwhelmed that I forget. I need God to remind me of his promise today. If that's you, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand. If you're here today and if you'd say, Pastor Richard, I don't know where I stand with God. Every time you speak his name, every time that he's mentioned in this place today, something inside of me is very uncomfortable. God loves you. He's not intimidated by your past. He's not turned off by the things that you've done. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die on Calvary's cross for you. And if you will open up your heart to him, he will come. And he will change you. I said, he will come and he will change you. Well, how do you know that's true? Because the tomb is empty. I said, the tomb is empty. I'm going to count to three, and if you need to raise your hand, I'm going to ask you that you would quickly do it up in the balcony, down on the main floor, out in the overflow area as well. If you need to raise your hand, I'm looking across this place and I want to see your hand raised. So when you raise your hand, I want you to look up here at me. Primarily, if you're raising your hand and saying, Pastor Richard, if Jesus came right now, I don't know that I'd go with him. I'm afraid that I would miss his coming. If that's you, then I want you to open up your eyes and look right up here at me. Because when you leave here today, I want you to know that you would be with Jesus. And there is a way that you can know. I'm going to count to three, and if you need to raise your hand to any of those questions, I'm going to ask you that you would. Are you ready? One, two, three. If your hand needs to be up, just lift it up real high. I'm looking up in the balcony. I'm looking for hands up in the balcony as well. I see yours. Is there anybody else down here on the ground floor? If your hand is raised, would you stand up on your feet, please? Quickly stand up on your feet. Go ahead, quickly stand up on your feet. Oh, man, I wouldn't have raised my hand if I knew I was going to do this. That's why I didn't tell you this part. Oops, first. Now I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to require a lot of courage. It may make you feel very uncomfortable, but can I tell you that the Bible says But to come to God, you must believe that He is and that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Jesus said it this way, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, then I will deny you before my Father in heaven." And those of you that are standing, this is not to embarrass you, but it very well may be to humble you. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. If you're standing, I'm going to ask you to make your way down here to the front right now. In the balcony, please come quickly. We will wait for you on the main floor as well. Come, stretch out across the front up here, please. It doesn't matter what your need is. God is able to meet it. "Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, beyond all that we could ask or think, according..." You don't have to face the audience. They don't matter. It's not that I matter, but I don't want to make it any more uncomfortable than it is. You're up here for God. You're not up here to impress anybody, or you're up here because you need something that only God can give you, and you know that. If I could get our prayer team to go ahead and come down at this time, staff, pastors, different individuals, Pastor Jocelyn, your prayer team from the Marshallese service as well, go ahead and come. Now I'm going to ask you to do something, those of you that are down here. I know that many of you are down for different reasons. Some are down because they're discouraged. Some are down because they're overwhelmed. Some are down here in the front because you do need Jesus in your life. If you're down here for anything, lift up your hand right now. And please listen to me. Keep your hand raised until somebody comes to you. Keep your hand raised. Prayer team, go ahead and make your way and begin to minister to these people. Don't lower your hand until somebody comes to you. Linda, would you come? Jocelyn, would you come? Pastor Steve, would you come? Come on down and begin to minister. Where's my wife at? Kelly, would you come, please? Please keep your hand raised until somebody comes to you. Somebody will be with you just momentarily. Pastor Jojo, perfect, right there, right there. Steve, right over here. We got a couple down here in the front, right here. Miss Linda, we got a couple women right over here. Can you pray? Roll right over here and pray with these guys. Just keep your hand raised. We have more people coming. We have more people coming. Kelly, I need you right down here in the front. Those of you that remain, would you please stand up on your feet, please? Stand up on your feet, everybody. Lift up your hands and say out loud, "Father God, You are greater than anything. Your promise is greater than any of my problems. And today I fix my eyes on You. I refuse to be moved by my circumstances. I refuse to be turned away by my situation. You are a good God, and You will do good things in my life. That is my confession in Jesus' name." I want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much for coming. We look forward to seeing you in the future. Every Sunday we're here. Come on back. We'd love to see you. Have a great day. Happy Easter.